Doma T. Pongo here, WGN Radio News. About 2 weeks after a heavy rain hit the northern parts of Illinois, WGN Radio sent myself and a few other reporters out in the field to kind of take a look at what was left of some of these communities. So here's a series of conversations we were having. This one in particular is at W.J. Murphy Elementary School, where I spoke with the district superintendent, the director of operations, and Murphy Elementary's principal, Dr. Phil Georgia. Then after that, we walked right over across the street and talked to a resident.
Okay, well, give me your names one more time.
Okay.
The record. Let me show it.
Okay, Dr. Constance Collins, superintendent, Round Lake School District 116.
Phil Georgia, Murphy Elementary School principal.
Awesome. And the first thing is, tell us about what it was like that first day, July 12th, when the rain came in, and when did you guys come and actually see that the school had been damaged pretty severely?
So I got a call at about 6:30 in the morning from our custodian, and he had just gotten here, and he had found 15 inches in the lower level. And I was scheduled to be off that morning. I was planning to go play golf, but with all the rain coming down, that wasn't going to happen, so I came into the building myself. We knew we had a big problem, but then what we realized is as we looked around, the water outside the building was about a foot higher than the water inside. And so throughout that day, it just continued to come up and up and up until it peaked at 4 feet of water.
Yeah, and after once you guys saw that, what was your process for trying to get that water out from around the building, inside the building, et cetera? Mm-hmm. Kind of walk us through the damage assessment process.
So because the water was coming from a retention center that's behind the building here, we realized there was nothing we could do until the water outside the building had drained away. So we were working with the Round Lake Park Village, and they came out with some huge pumps, and it took them probably 3-4 days. They were trying to get more and more pumps just to get the water out. And so, you know, the flooding was on the Wednesday and Thursday, and it was Sunday before the water finally got away from the building. And then that first Monday, Sheila had already coordinated with the restoration company, and they came in with all their equipment and started sucking out all the water from the hallways and all the standing water. So that's when the work really was able to begin.
Now, what are the schools in the district? How many schools are in your district first? And then what was the damage like at some of those other schools?
Okay, we have 11. And at Ellis, there's probably about $1 million worth of damage there at Ellis Elementary School. And then also Beach Elementary, about $350,000 worth of damage. The greatest damage was here at Murphy, about $2 million worth of damage here.
Now, I was reading an article not too long ago with Rounder, walking people through the process for submitting that financial damage to the state and how the state can reimburse and kind of compensate schools. What has that process been like for you? It's been streamlined. And at what point will the school be back to normal as it was before?
So at this point, you know, we've been working with the insurance company and realized that we are 100% covered. So, you know, we're anticipating that absolutely everything we lost we'll be able to replace and working with the insurance company. And so we haven't had to work with the state or submit anything to the state at this point. But, you know, we've had a lot of people who have been wanting to help. And, you know, and we've always been a school district in need, and we've always been seeking donations or to make programs better for kids and to provide more opportunities that some of our neighboring districts might be able to provide our kids, and we haven't. You know, we've been receiving a lot of support from families, organizations, reaching out to help us.
That's great news, first of all.
It is.
And what's the timeline like for those renovations to be done?
I don't know if Sheila wants, but we're looking at, why don't you give the rundown? Because she can tell you the other schools. I don't know.
Yeah, give us the name and title, too.
Sheila Duhon, the Executive Director of Operations. So right now, we will be ready for the start of school. Some of the aesthetic things will not be 100%. So for instance, flooring, the moisture levels are still a little too high to place down the new tile just because concrete holds on to moisture a little longer. So although we won't necessarily have flooring in all impacted spaces, the spaces are safe, they will be clean, and they will be 100% functional for the first day of school, which is August 21st. Here at Murphy, we're still waiting for the lower level we cut out all the drywall, we cut out all the flooring, and so we still have major renovations to do. So that'll take a little bit longer. So we will be working this fall to get the lower level fully restored and open that back up for use by the children. But we can utilize the rest of the building, which will be beneficial. And then we're bringing modular units on site. So we'll have a 6-room mobile, and we'll utilize that to supplement the classrooms that we will not not have access to on the first day of school.
Awesome. And this is for the worst, for the school that's staying the worst damage to be able to open on time is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I would have never guessed it. Sheila's been amazing. Yes. She is just cranking with every group that works with us, a restoration company, insurance. It's been unbelievable.
That's awesome. And is the story the same for the rest of the schools, I imagine, because they incur far less damage.
Yes, definitely. They will be ready. And Sheila, with her team, they will be able to complete the work that needs to be done in those buildings. So we didn't have as much concern about their opening on time as we did Murphy. But now knowing that Murphy will be able to open on time, that's a story to tell.
Awesome. And then, and just three more questions. So were any summer programs happening at the school that were affected after the flood?
Thankfully not. We were doing a lot of online things for summer opportunities for kids and didn't have anything going on in the building then.
And then where are you guys operating out of now? I know you said that you're at a different building.
So. We're at the annex. There's a building near the high school that they use for computer labs and doing testing and stuff, and we're operating out of that room.
And lastly, it's kind of two questions in one. How has the public been supporting the school, and how can the public continue to support the school? Is there anything that you need that you want to let people know about if they want to volunteer or donate, et cetera?
So we're working on some volunteer opportunities for people. That was one of the first things that we were getting all the phone calls about. Everybody said, what can I do? I want to come in, help out, clean out the books, throw stuff in a dumpster. Let me know what I can do. And so, you know, some of those things are just taking time. And with the initial clean out, there were some health and safety issues that really made it not safe for just the random public to be coming in and helping with. But the playground up here is something that we've just been, you know, we have to have the mulch replaced because it was in that standing water for so long. And that's something where we're going to be able to bring in some volunteers to help just spread out the new mulch after it gets delivered.
And then financial donations, is that a consequence, or because you're 100% covered, is that something you're not really worried about at this point?
So there was a huge outpouring from the community, neighboring school districts, families, organizations. And so there's been such a huge wave of support. We've had hundreds, if not thousands, of books that have been donated. Luckily, we are fully covered through our insurance company. So any donations at this point are above and beyond. And so it's great that that is available. However, again, we're relying on our insurance process to make us whole, so they will fully restore. But again, a lot of beautification process projects are happening at the schools, and so this is unfortunate. However, the Round Lake School District and these schools in particular will be far better, and so we'll be able to serve our children better than we ever have been before. And so that's I guess the silver lining.
That's awesome.
We've been getting checks sent to the school that are just like Murphy Elementary Library. And so if anything, you know, if people really want to give something, the foundation is probably the best place for those financial contributions to go, because the Round Lake Foundation supports the programs and allows the above and beyond type things that the district is wanting to do.
Do you have the website for that, the foundation?
Yes. Yeah. And what is that? RLAS. And I'll give you the exact web address, because I don't want to misquote that. But
I'll
have a website. Yes, okay. Definitely. Yes, so we can get that to you.
And the only other thing that I would say is that, you know, when the flooding first happened, our teachers were just really worried about their own stuff and like, oh, no, I'm going to lose everything. But and, you know, so they were like, I want to start a GoFundMe page and all this. But when they realized that they were going to be covered, they really turned their attention to the families and community and neighbors in our community. And even all the way down Greenwood here, you know, these houses right here, they were all the way under there. There were cars that were all the way underwater. And so, you know, we're a neighborhood school. So all the kids that are here, they come to Murphy. They're part of our school. So the teachers have started a fundraiser just for families in the community. And, you know, so that's something, if people search for that online, you know, there's an opportunity to give to that. And we're going to be, you know, working with our families to see what they need and how we can help.
One thing one of the shows was thinking about, the Steve Cochran Show at GM, was thinking about for their 1,000th show, which will be coming up in a few weeks, doing a fundraiser for folks. And so have you seen that families really need that help? Is that something maybe we could use Murphy as the home
absolutely.
Base for that?
Absolutely. Just a lot of the families right on Greenwood here and in this neighborhood. A number of people rent. And so, you know, how many people really get renter's insurance? And, some people have been hard to get a hold of because they just moved and gone to live with relatives before they're able to come back or even able to come back. So there really is a lot of need there.
And I don't know if this is at all possible. Then if we can, I'll do 5 minutes, just take a look at some things and not get out of your hair.
That's
but,
good.
Are there any parents that might be available to speak, even if over the phone, just so I can get a see what their experience has been like and, you know, what support they may need?
I could see. We can. There's one lady who lives over here that we could just kind of go over to the house and see if we can find somebody.
That would be great. Yeah. That would be great.
You want to look inside first and then we'll walk over there?
Sure. That'd be great.
Like that.
Yeah.
Okay. And
let's
the foundation website is RLASfoundation.com.
And from there, we walked across the street and spoke to a resident who was actually one of the lucky ones, but more than happy to speak with us.
We're making progress.
That's good. Yeah. It was nice to have a nice little lake
yeah,
in the morning for coffee. You know, until their block smelled really bad.
Well, I'm with WGN Radio. If you got a second, I just wanted to grab a few.
Sure.
Ask a few questions about, first of all, I'm sorry about having to go through all this.
We actually had the highest house on the block.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as bad. I mean, we stayed out here. I mean, I don't know how long he was out here, but we started grilling and feeding the workers that were sitting out here. And we just did everything that we could to help anybody,
yeah.
You know?
And what's your name, by the way?
Ruth.
Ruth. And how... In your base, was your basement affected, or how high?
No, we don't have a basement. Just the crawl space was. But I mean, considering everything was coming this way, everything just kept filling up and filling up. Believe it or not, they got the worst end of it. So
because it's kind of on the higher end.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
That's your neighbor's driveway,
yeah,
right there.
Yeah, all the cement is our neighbor's driveway from over there. It caved twice.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, because this was just like a raging torrent through here.
Yeah,
you know, all the drainage.
We had water from probably here to like the crack in the, yeah, it was pretty bad.
And is that a TV that got damaged there?
Yes.
That's part of, so how much damage would you say that you guys
did? We didn't.
Much?
We actually, this was stuff that started floating.
Oh.
So it's kind of like stuff as we find, we've just been kind of just picking it up. Like I said, our crawl space is the only thing that got really damaged, but
thank God for that.
Well, except for the stuff in the garage, that's about it.
Yeah, we didn't realize until after everything stopped flooding that the whole back of our garage ended up with water.
Okay.
So yeah, we lost a lot of stuff back there, but we haven't even gotten that far yet.
Okay. And then last one, Ruth, too. You know, you said you guys were talk about some of the things that you're doing for folks who are helping out at the school. You said you did some
barbecue. Me and my neighbor Jennifer sat out here and barbecued for quite a few days actually, and just depleted every amount of food we had. Just water bottles, juice drinks, meat on skewers, whatever it would take for somebody to walk around with something mobile, you know? So.
Plus, yeah. They stayed out here with all the kids who were trying to go in the water. It was electrically charged, so there was a risk of them getting killed. So they were out here playing lifeguard.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Burns. Yeah. I actually ended up with sun poisoning.
Right.
So, yeah, I was not doing so good. I was sick for like 3-4 days after that.
This
and then
is
the smell on the blood.
He was going to try and help hook up all the pumps and everything with them and just try to be a gopher for the guys who were there. So,
okay. Do you go to Murphy?
No, we used to.
I'm going into 7th grade.
Yeah, but he used to.
You're going into 7th grade? This is a big guy right here. Saving lives
short.
Like a superhero.
Yeah.
Well, can you talk about some of the things that you and your friends were doing while the water was that high like that? Because I know when I was a kid, I
would
have been.
He tried to save the neighbors down the street before the water got too high, but he was too short to get to them. That's when they ended up having to bring out a boat and a scuba diver to get them out. They were sleeping that morning. When they opened the door, their first floor was completely underwater. So they kind of ended up with a floodgate once they opened the door.
And so then scuba divers had to go in, wake them up,
and bring them out by boat. I don't think there was a family of five,
were they
four or five.
Submerged in the water?
Their first floor was, yeah. Their first floor was completely underwater.
You guys have been really generous with your time. Anything else you want to share? Because I know I'm taking up a lot of time this morning.
I love the block that we're on. Everybody helps each other.
Yeah,
I mean, we've been seeing him since day one.